This is VK6ARN News West. We are a community organisation and we've been serving up the best amateur radio news in Australia since 1931. Hi there, I'm Clinton, VK6FCRC, and welcome to News West. Now on with the show.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. Over the past weeks, actually probably more accurately years, I've been carrying around an idea. It's been bubbling away, and I've been trying very hard to make it solidify into something that I could explain and then hopefully attack. Today, I woke up with a hunger to do some radio, and ultimately tell you about it. To get to a point where my aha moment emerged, I need to provide some history. Traditional radio activities involve variations on a radio plugged into an antenna, with the operator talking into a microphone or torturing a Morse key. If you want to operate digital modes, you essentially have two choices. You can use a rare radio with inbuilt digital modes, or, more commonly, connect a computer to the radio via an audio interface, which essentially replaces the operator with a computer. This implies that the radio is physically connected to the computer and in the same room. What if you don't want either? There's another aspect to this. Modern SDRs, or software-defined radios, tend to use the network to get information from the antenna to the user. The network can transport the radio signal, but also control signals to change things like frequency and mode, and if the radio supports it, bands, antennas, and other fun stuff like filters. There are ways to control a traditional radio across the network with so-called CAT commands, or computer-assisted tuning. The same technology can be used to connect a logging tool so it knows what frequency and mode to log when you make a contact. What CAT control lacks is audio. Said differently, although some solutions exist to send Morse code, you cannot use CAT to listen to the radio, or speak into a microphone. This isn't an issue if the radio and you are in the same room, but if they're not, then things get tricky. And as a final piece of background information, a traditional radio is based around audio, that is, the information going between you and the radio, or a computer and the radio, is limited to audio. This represents about 4 kHz of signal. In other words, if you're tuned to 28.500 MHz, then a traditional radio can hear the radio signal between 28.500 and 28.504 MHz, sufficient for a single audio signal. But even a simple digital radio, a $50 RTL SDR, using a USB cable, can handle 2.4 MHz, plenty to cover all of the 10-meter band between 28.0 and 29.7 MHz with room to spare. I've been looking for something, anything, that brings these two vastly different worlds together for a number of reasons. I've spoken previously about some of these. For example, I do not want to physically connect my traditional radio, a Yaesu FT857D, to my computer, because I do not want to have the potential of stray RF coming into my computer. I'd also love to be able to run the same decoding and control tools for various radios. The Pluto SDR, several RTL SDR dongles, my 857, and other radios as they come into my shack from time to time. Then there's the signal processing side of things. I'd love to be able to learn how to decode Morse and eventually other modes using a computer. I also want to be able to use a voice keyer during a contest, so the whole house doesn't ring from the sound of me calling CQ Contest or CQDX for hours on end. I've been making inroads into this. I managed to get Rig Control D to work across the network, using Docker containers at both ends. I attempted to get audio working, but that has so far been a dismal failure, despite assistance on several fronts. This morning, I stumbled on the idea of using GNU Radio for both. I even came across some examples where two so-called flow graphs can talk to each other across the network. Now, at this point, you're either going to be nodding your head or you're going to be asking yourself what gibberish I just spouted. If you're already nodding your head, stand by. If not, GNU Radio is a software toolkit that provides signal processing blocks that you can link together to create simple or sophisticated systems to manipulate signals, like those that come from radios, or radio telescopes, or mobile phone base stations, radar, ADS-B, or whatever else you can imagine. It's widely used in academia, government, industry, research, and of course by us, hobbyists. A collection of blocks and links is called a flow graph, and in essence it's a program, or if you like, an app, that you can run. It comes with a ton of examples and tutorials, including one where one flow graph can manipulate another, either on the same computer or somewhere on the internet. What this means is that you could build a flow graph that can talk to a Yaesu FT857D and one that can talk to a Pluto SDR or an RTL SDR or any other radio, and use that to talk to a flow graph that understands how to deal with audio, CAT, and anything else you might want to. It means that for the first time in years, I can at least imagine a unified world where my 857 isn't a boat anchor when compared to my Pluto SDR. Of course, they don't have the same functionality, but at least I can handle their signals in the same way. Unlike the path I was previously on, where I was attempting to cobble together several tools whilst attempting to avoid a headache from banging my head against the wall, today I can use one toolkit to build apps that run on pretty much anything with a CPU and see the fruits of my labour. I'm working on a proof of concept, and when I've got it to show and tell, I'll put it up on my GitHub page, cunningly named after me, Victor Kilo 6 Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo. A final observation. Amateur radio means different things to different people at different times. For me, today, it's about software and GNU radio. Tomorrow, it's just as likely to be about something else. What is possible depends entirely on your imagination, so get playing, either on air or online, whatever gets you smiling. And remember, the impossible happens immediately. Miracles take a little longer. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima Alpha Bravo.
Hello, this is Kevin, VK6KQ, on behalf of the Wireless Institute Civil Emergency Network of WA. We'd like to invite you to the WISEN meeting next Monday evening, the 11th of November. It'll be held at the Bellevue Mechanics Institute Hall, located at number 10 Helen Street, Bellevue. Doors open at 1900 for a 1930 start. That's 7 for 7:30 p.m. Everyone is welcome. Tea, coffee and biscuits will be available. We hope to see you there. Thanks for listening.
Hi, just a little note about VK6RRG and the WAG Technical and General Net. Having it run every Sunday morning on VK6RLM, that's 146.750 or Channel 3 in the old money. And it starts at 10:30 a.m. this morning. Of course, if you're listening in the evening, it's next week.
Here's an event for the travellers among us. If you're going to be in the southeast corner of our great country at the end of this month and you have your caravan, camper or camping gear with you, here's an amateur radio event that you'd enjoy. Antennapalooza takes place at Druin West, about an hour's drive on the M1 east of Melbourne. Antennapalooza is an event that brings people together from multiple clubs with a relaxed program and a chance to share ideas. Picture a few acres of land with a few trees around the edges. Operators can come along with their tent, caravan or swag and set up their radio and antennas for a weekend in an RF quiet space. For some, it's an opportunity to erect and try out antennas that they don't have room for at home. For others, it's a place to socialise and listen to the talks going on in the pavilion. On both the Saturday and the Sunday, there will be short lectures on interesting topics. Bring a folding chair and a beer if you wish and listen to what's being said about real-world topics on amateur radio. The theme this year is large wire antennas, and for starters there is a temporary installation of a curtain array on 20 metres. Imagine two 19-metre masts about 60 metres apart, supporting eight half-wave folded dipoles for 20 metres each with a half-wave reflector behind it, a line for Europe short path. It ought to be quite a sight. And here's the crunch, if you wish, you can try out your radio in this big boy antenna. Antennapalooza is free, you don't need to register ahead of time, just rock up. There's a big grass paddock with some trees around it, BYO everything. There's a toilet and a tap for water. Check out the website, antennapalooza, www.tannapalooza.net.au and tannapalooza.net.au. Have a bash if you're over there.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Foundations of Amateur Radio. The hobby of amateur radio is one of experimentation and change. For decades, this came in the form of circuit diagrams, components, and scrounged hardware from anything that wasn't bolted down. New functionality came with the aid of a soldering iron. More recently, functionality comes from participation in the global electronics market, where you can buy any radio you like and have it shipped to your door within hours at an unbeatable price. Mind you, buying all those unbelievably cheap radios does start adding up, and if you want to use more sophisticated hardware, that too is possible, at a price, somewhere between $50 and a new Porsche. Whilst that's an option for some, for the rest of us, there are better and cheaper ways. Of course, it doesn't stop there. If you connect any radio to a computer, you can use whatever software you like to encode and decode any signal you can imagine. With a traditional radio connected to a computer, you can make it participate in hundreds of different so-called digital modes. Before I continue, let's look at a radio in a slightly different way. Consider an antenna as a continuous source of voltages that are amplified, filtered, and demodulated in some way by a radio. You can think of the combination of antenna, radio, and computer as a stream decoder. To decode a signal in a new way requires a new decoder, which you could build from components or, as I've said, buy online. During the week, I've continued experimenting with GNU Radio. If you're unfamiliar, it's a toolkit that allows you to build so-called flow graphs that can process a signal stream. Think of it as a box of Lego that you can put together to build any type of decoder. Let me say that again. Imagine that you want to decode or transmit a mode like FreeDV, M17, APRS, Olivia, Contestia, or Hellschreiber. With the GNU Radio Toolkit, all of this is possible, and you won't need to buy new hardware or bust out the soldering iron every time you want to experiment with a new mode. If you have been playing with digital modes already, you'll likely point out that you can already do this today by using software running on a computer. And that's true. What that doesn't tell you is that this comes with a very specific limitation. Namely, that all those modes require that they fit inside a single audio channel, because all those digital modes you might be familiar with are essentially using an SSB or FM signal with the audio generated or decoded by a computer. Even if you have a modern radio, like, for example, an ICOM IC7300, you'll still be limited in what modes of transmission you can make. ICOM limits the transmit bandwidth to 2.9 kHz. Flex radio appears to double that to 7.9 kHz, but numbers are sketchy. The point remains, most current amateur radio technology is based around the notion that a mode essentially fits within a single audio channel, and a very narrow one at that. So, why does this matter? If you run out of FT8 space on a band, right now you need to change to an alternate frequency to play, but you'll only be able to see the stations that are using the same alternate frequency, as long as they fit within the bandwidth of an audio signal. If you wanted to check out the main frequency, you'd have to change frequencies and keep switching back and forth. Using this idea, monitoring all of FT4, FT8, Whisper, and all CW beacons, all at the same time, becomes unimaginable, not to mention costly, if you needed a radio for each band and each mode. What if you wanted to use another mode that took more than about 4 kHz, like, say, a 5 MHz wide DVB-T signal, which you could be experimenting with on 70 centimeters? Or what if you'd like to compare a repeater input with its output at the same time? Or compare two repeaters together? Or find the best band to operate on right now? The point being that there are things that simply don't fit within a single audio channel that you won't be able to play with using a traditional radio. As it happens, that too is a solved problem. Remember that I mentioned that you can think of an antenna, radio, and computer combination as a stream decoder? What if I told you that an SDR, a software-defined radio, is essentially a device that translates antenna voltages into numbers, which you can process with GNU radio? Whilst that does imply replacing your radio, you don't have to jump in at the deep end to start playing, and even if you do decide to buy new hardware, you can get your toes wet with all manner of self-build or commercial kits. Even better, you can start with the gear you already have today and become familiar with GNU radio. And when you're ready to expand your station, you can add in an SDR and continue to use the same tools to experiment. Not only that, you can do interesting things by combining what you already have. Consider, for example, the idea of using an RTL SDR as the receiver with a traditional radio as the transmitter. You could decode all of the FT8 signals on a band and transmit where there was space to do so. The point being that you can do this one step at a time. Every time you download or build another GNU radio flow graph, you can have a new decoder, and as time goes on, you'll be able to decide what hardware you might want to pair it with. To be clear, I'm talking about the gradual change from component-based radio using audio interfaces into software-based radio. It's not like we haven't done this before. Anyone recall spark gaps? Or valves? The future of experimentation is bright, and it's filled with bits. I'm Ono, Victor Kilo 6, Foxtrot Lima, Alpha Bravo.
On Tuesday afternoons and evenings, the 40 and 80 metre bands come alive with the sound of slow CW. Who would have thought that this ancient art, which some say was once such a dreaded part of the amateur licence test, would become so popular in these days of modern communications? The uncontrolled net is run in designated portions of the two bands to encourage new CW operators to have a go at slow CW in a safe and really friendly environment. Slow speed and lots of mistakes are par for the course. It's all about having a go, starting with a basic call sign and RST exchange, then over time getting better and better. The net also attracts its fair share of old-timers who enjoy helping others to have a go or to just enjoy the banter. The CQQRS net started in Western Australia 3 years ago and has been running every single Tuesday and has been unbelievably popular. The net runs from 3 p.m. until about 7 p.m. on 40 metres, then moves to 80 metres, and we've had up to 60 stations on air having a go. And who knows how many listeners are out there every Tuesday as well. So, the CQQRS net is on 40 metres between 0700 Zulu and 1100 Zulu, that is 3 p.m. until 7 p.m, and is held between 7020 and 7040 kHz. Then between 0900 Zulu and 1300 Zulu, which is 5 p.m. until 9 p.m, we're on between 3540 and 3570 kHz every Tuesday. There's no net control, so when you're ready to have a go, just find a quiet spot and start calling CQQRS at about 75% of the speed you can copy. Most stations will match your speed, so go slow until you're really comfortable with CW. So this might be just the opportunity you've been waiting for to have a go at transmitting on CW, or perhaps just to stop the contacts rusting up on your key. Doesn't matter whether you're brand new to the code or if you're an old-timer who would like to have a bit of fun and help encourage new operators by having simple, safe QSOs at their speed. We'd love to have you join in. Too much switch mode power supply hash on 80 metres? This might be the incentive to do something about it. With a cheap noise canceller costing less than $100, 80 metres could be easier than you think. So again, the net starts at 3 p.m. every Tuesday, above the DX segment on 40 metres between 7020 and 7040. Then, after 7 p.m, moves to 80 metres between 3540 and 3570 kHz. There are usually stations in the west, east and in between, listening out for your CQQRS call. For more information and to receive our free weekly CQQRS RagTune newsletter, contact me, Mark, VK6QI, via the email on qrz.com, or you can use our address, cqqrsnet@gmail.com.
That is cqqrsnet@gmail.com, and I'll be pleased to have a chat.
This is News West, your amateur radio news on VK6 ARN, originating on the News West Linked Repeater Network and HF Relays.
Have you seen the November edition of the QTC magazine yet? Check it out. QTC is an electronic amateur radio magazine produced by RASA, the Radio Amateur Society of Australia. We've changed from a quarterly magazine to a smaller, monthly format in order to bring you news and announcements in a more timely manner. The publication target date is the end of the first week of the month. The lead story for the November edition of QTC concerns a recent announcement by the ACMA on the application process for beacons and repeaters. The big change is that the requirement to channel applications through the Wireless Institute of Australia has been removed. Amateurs, either individuals or clubs, now apply directly to the ACMA. There are some conditions that may apply, so prospective applicants should appraise themselves of these and seek advice. The changes were made after a consultation process conducted by the ACMA. Most of the recommendations made by RASA in its response to the consultation were adopted by the ACMA. QTC also has a story on the recent VKFF get-together in Bendigo, and other interesting articles. An important announcement for clubs providing courses and exams is that they are now invited to advertise their location, contact details, etc. in the Foundation Level Study Guide. QTC magazine is free and is available from the RASA website, vkradioamateurs.org. That's vkradioamateurs, no spaces, .org. I'm Bob, VK6POP.
Good morning, everyone. Here's the helpline for the 10th day of November 2024. Not 26 yet. Today I have a repeat of items for David McSweeney, VK6 and 6084. He has an FT2800 mic FM 2-meter transceiver, in fact, 65 watts, $150. There's also a Kenwood Tango Sierra 660 HF 6-meter SSB transceiver, $200. There's also a power supply homebrew, 13.8 volt, 20 amp, $30. There's a Mirage Bravo 34 Golf linear amplifier, 2 meters, $50. There's also a Palomar 2 meter amplifier, designation TX225HD, $50. There's also a homebrew antenna tuning unit for HF operations, manual control, $50. There's also a 2-meter handheld transceiver, a Fox Tango 209 Romeo Hotel plus manual, $20. Morse key has gone to a new home at VK6 X-Ray Lima, and the low-pass filters are still available at $10 each. And you may contact me on behalf of David. You can call me on 0427 000 995. 0427 000 995, or email to vk6xrayvictor@bigpond.com, and that email can also double for items for next week. If you have any items for next week's broadcast, please get them to me post haste before Thursday next, and I'll deal with it as it comes in. Thank you once again for listening. 7-3 from Roy, VK6XRayVictor.
Hi there, it's Clinton, VK6FCRC, back with you. And did you know that News West is now on YouTube? Type in youtube.com/@NewsWestWeeklyPodcast-KiloZulu7YankeeCharlie. Oh, and before I go, I'd like to thank those watching on YouTube or ATV, the readers, and you for listening. I'd also like to thank our team, the broadcasters, and those submitting content each week. Please stand by now for callbacks after the broadcast, or head over to the vk6.net website and fill out the form so we know how many people are listening each week.